scripture this morning is from John 15, 26 and through 27 and 16, 4b through 15. When the friend I plan to send to you from the Father comes, the Spirit of truth issuing from the Father, he will confirm everything about me. You too, from your side, must give your confirming evidence, since you are in this with me. But I didn't tell you this earlier because I was with you every day. But now I am on my way to the one who sent me. Not one of you has asked, where are you going? Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you've become. So let me say it again, this truth. It's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he'll expose the error of the godless world's view of sin and righteousness and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin, that righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control. That judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. Still, I have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but it makes sense that out of what he is about to happen, indeed, out of all that I have done and said, he will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said, he takes it from me and delivers it to you.
Amen. Thank you very much, Barb. So there's this beautiful word in Koine Greek, parakletos, paraclete, paraclete. Say that with me, paraclete. Isn't that a beautiful word? Now, according to scholar Alice McKenzie, a paraclete is a sponsor, is a patron, someone who can show up in court and speak up and speak for a particular person or a cause. It's a type of legal term. It's somebody who is for you. I think that's why in English, paraclete is typically translated into advocate. Because we understand that, right? In the legal system, the advocate that's there for you. The word paraclete is very rare in our Bible. It's only found in the New Testament. It's only in the writings attributed to the Apostle John. Three times in John's Gospel, one time in 1 John. The paraclete is someone who is for you. The advocate is someone who is for you. You know what also describes someone who is for you? Friend. Friend, right? Friend. A friend is someone who is for us. And we value our friendships, don't we? We write songs about friends. I get by with a little help from my friends. Ooh, you're my best friend. I was learning some new words, new lyrics this week, just thinking about songs about friends. Now this one I knew, but lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. You know that song. Or how about this one? Friend isn't in the lyrics, but it's completely inferred. I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. I'll be there for you because you're there for me too. Ba 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 da bum 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 ba da ba dum. Friends TV show just had a reunion. What can I say? That was on my heart. We value our friendships, and at this time I would ask you to bring to your heart the friends that you have. Think of old friends, new friends, best friends. This past week, I happened to go through our wedding book. It's a little white book from 1981. And as I opened the pages of that book, I was just amazed to look back and to see friends, some old friends. To see my best friend, Tammy, as we were getting ready to get married, but to see two old friends that I had met early in middle school that are, for whatever reason, they have never gotten tired of me, and we are still friends to this day, my friends Lincoln and Dale. We love our friends because our friends are for us, and our friends bring out the best in us, and our friends will speak the truth to us in love. Amen? Now, the Apostle John would tell us that we all share a friend in common. And in the original language of John's gospel, as Jesus would speak these words, Jesus says that it is the Paraclete who is for us. And when I say paraclete, it is not a paraclete. It is not just someone. It is the paraclete, the advocate. In the Common English Bible, the companion. And of course, in the message from the Message version today, the friend. The friend who is with us. And John, with Jesus' words, there's a theological connection is made. Jesus says that this friend is none other than the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got to ask you, when you are bringing to mind your friends, thinking about who your friends were, did you ever consider that the Holy Spirit was your friend? Were you thinking, oh, I remember that time the Holy Spirit and I got together. Woo-hoo! I'm thinking probably that wasn't your first response. I'm thinking that in this mystery that we call the Trinity, when we think about one God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we try to picture God as our friend, probably the person that we're thinking of is Jesus, right? What a friend we have in Jesus. And that's true. But hear this, friends. The love that we feel from Jesus Christ is experienced through the Holy Spirit, who is with us, who is for us, and who is in us. And that's how we experience the friendship of Jesus Christ, the friendship of God, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. I believe this was what Jesus was trying to communicate to his followers of long ago. Trying to talk about the oneness of God and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus shared words like this about the Holy Spirit, talked about the paraclete, the advocate, the friend, in a teaching that happened right after that final supper that he had with his disciples. That same supper where just earlier he had washed their feet. That same supper where they broke bread, where they shared the common cup. Right after that, Jesus shares this teaching that we've come to know in our tradition as the farewell discourse. Because it is, in effect, Jesus saying goodbye. Now, in this farewell discourse, there's a lot of wonderful teaching that's there. Teaching about we should love one another as I have loved you. There's a beautiful high priestly prayer that you'll hear me preaching about sometime soon. But there's this overall purpose of what Jesus is trying to do here. And he's trying to prepare his followers then and his followers now, for the time in which Jesus isn't going to be with us. And yet Jesus will be with us in the presence of the friend, the Holy Spirit. Early in that farewell discourse, Jesus had talked about, when he just began talking about love that he had for them and you know, the purpose that he had, and when he started to show, to tell them that he was going to go to the Father and he won't be able to be with them, what Jesus starts out saying in John 14 is this. He says, if you love me, show it by doing what I told you. Seems pretty clear, right? I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. The friend is the Spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he's been staying with you and will even be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I'm coming back. In just a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you're going to see me because I am alive and you're about to come alive. At that moment, you will know absolutely that I am in the Father and you're in me and I'm in you. The person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him. So Jesus is now again, later on in the farewell discourse, trying to describe to the disciples the friend that is to come. But he has to overcome what is going on here. And that is, he has some pretty depressed disciples. And can you blame him? Jesus tells them, after being with them for 3 years, for a good amount of time, he says, I'm about to leave and I'm going to go to the Father. And I'm sure the disciples are probably scratching their heads going, well, okay, what does that mean? But he's trying to explain to him that things are going to change, that he does love them, that the new friend is coming, but he's not going to be able to be with them. And so he is talking to depressed disciples. Now, we know how this story ends. And so we might be reading this or hearing it and thinking, well, come on, disciples, have patience. It'll all turn out all right. Really? How many of us in this room, how many of us online have felt ourselves bereft of God? Have found ourselves in times in our life when we are feeling pretty low, pretty lonely, pretty separated, pretty numb, and we don't experience friendship of God. We don't experience friendship of Jesus. We don't experience the friendship of the Holy Spirit. Now, I would ask that you would get into that mode to try to understand what's happening with the disciples here. They're dealing with some grief, and yet Jesus is there. And he says, the Holy Spirit is going to be with you, is already with you, and soon will be in you. And even when you don't feel it, the Holy Spirit will be there because the Holy Spirit is your friend. And Jesus makes the promise that the Holy Spirit will come. Now, what's interesting to hear about this Holy Spirit is that this Holy Spirit that Jesus describes is exactly like a friend, the one that is for you. Because the Holy Spirit confirms the truth. That's what a good friend does, amen? Confirms the truth. The Holy Spirit confirms the truth because the Holy Spirit speaks up for Jesus Christ and Jesus' cause and also empowers Jesus' disciples to be a witness to Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit confirms the truth. But the Holy Spirit also does something else that true friends do for us, and that is exposes us to the truth. Exposes our shortcomings in love, not to be mean, although in friendships we sometimes encounter that, but the Holy Spirit also shows us the truth in love. So first of all, how does the Holy Spirit confirm in us the truth of Jesus Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit does that by its movement in our life. Jesus says, he goes, the Spirit of truth that's issuing from the Father will confirm everything about me. And then he says, you too from your side must give your confirming evidence, since you are in this with me from the start. I always like to think that the confirmation of the truth of Jesus' love is that the Holy Spirit brings the very best out of us. Isn't that what good friends do? Isn't that what best friends do? Yeah, we get in trouble with friends sometimes. But if we have true friends, then in our interactions with them, they bring out the very best in us. And in our friendship, we bring out hopefully the very best in them. Hopefully we are a good friend to them. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit within us guides us, encourages us, believes in us, and advocates for us. The Holy Spirit not only does that, but in empowering us, the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual gifts. You all know about spiritual gifts? That'll be a sermon for another time too. I've talked about it before. But spiritual gifts are what the Spirit gives to us that's beyond our talent and our abilities. But the Spirit gives us these gifts that help us to build up the body of Christ, both inside and outside the walls of the church, to help us in the work to bring the kingdom to fruition. Gifts like teaching, gifts like leadership, gifts like serving, gifts like encouragement. All these different gifts, and there are many, the Spirit gives to us because the Spirit is our friend. And every gift that the Spirit gives confirms the truth of Jesus' love. So I want you to consider that. And I want you to be open to the good that the Spirit confirms. And you can do that, friends, in several ways. You can open your heart to the Spirit's leading through prayer, through worship, through study of Scripture, through blessing others. How do you like that shout back to the last series? In all those ways, your heart is open. It is pliable to experiencing the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, you have the opportunity to experience the amazing grace of God, the prevenient, the justifying, the sanctifying grace of our God, all through our lives. That is through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit confirms the truth. But the Spirit exposes. Jesus says, when the Spirit comes, he'll expose the error of the godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin, that righteousness comes from above where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control, that judgment, I love that, out of my sight and control, that judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and convicted. Now, it can be real easy to look at that verse and say, well, yeah, Jesus is pretty much condemning all those unbelievers out there. I'm a believer. That's not about me. Well, I beg to differ, church. Because like it or not, within the church, we have some pretty godless views of sin, and we have some pretty godless views of judgment and righteousness. And what we all need to do is in the friendship of the Holy Spirit to let the Spirit of truth anoint our hearts so that anything that is wrong, any non-love in our hearts is exposed. Friends, I can't help but think it's because we are not being open and pliant to the Holy Spirit that people perceive the Christian faith as negative. I've talked about this before, but it's just so apparent. You see it all the time on social media. It's one thing when you stay true to what you believe, that you articulate what you believe, and you engage in loving conversation in humbleness with the Holy Spirit on your heart. It's another thing to just blurt out what you think and think it's right and think everybody else is sinning, not you, and that you're judging them. Because see, what happens is you get judged. And if you just blurt out negative views, hurtful views, painful views, then you're pushing people away. And they aren't going to get to know the love of Jesus Christ. I can't tell you what to say. I struggle with this myself. I see something I don't like, I want to go, bah. And I fear the angry speaking of tongues that I may occasionally do on social media. But I'm trying to pray about that. Admit that struggle. I think we all need to be humble here. Because this is what the Holy Spirit does. It says, you know, people, look at what Jesus wants us to do. Jesus wants us to love one another. And by that way, everyone will know that we are Christians. We are followers of Jesus Christ by our love. Jesus promised the coming of the friend. Luke's book of Acts expresses that coming in this way. And let's dim those lights, gents. Thanks.
Once upon a time, there was a great wind, a mighty life-giving energy that breathed everything into existence, a power that moved along the waters of the deep, the Spirit of God. One day, a group who loved God was praying and meeting, celebrating a Jewish feast with friends and family, unaware of what was going to happen. Heaven was about to pay a visit. A violent wind filled the room where they prayed. Tongues of fire descended, separated, and rested on each of them. The Spirit of God didn't just come near them, the Spirit filled them. And each one began to speak in a foreign language, the many languages of all the people who lived in Jerusalem. All those who passed by marveled at what they saw. How could it be that each one could hear their own native language at the same time? Some claimed it was miraculous. Others scoffed and called them drunk. But Peter stepped forward and boldly proclaimed the truth. What the scripture described long ago had now come to pass right before their eyes. "I will pour out my spirit," the Lord told his people. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Here was the moment. The power of God filled the faithful. The body of Christ rose up, alive and active, equipped and empowered to love God, to love others. The good news continues to be proclaimed. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And the best news is, for those who believe, the story never ends.
Yes, the story never ends. Isn't that awesome? You know, when we come together on Pentecost, it's Luke's account of the event of Pentecost, the celebration of the Festival of Weeks, the coming of the Holy Spirit, that we know more fervently. And we think of the Holy Spirit in its supernatural manifestation as the coming of great wind and tongues of fire. But the Holy Spirit is beyond that. The Holy Spirit is our friend. The Holy Spirit entered into the followers of Jesus and the world began to change. Peter, not the most articulate of the disciples, he said a lot and just said a lot of wrong things. But the Spirit empowered him to deliver a message that spoke truth. It did the work of the friend. It confirmed the truth of Jesus Christ to people who were hungry for it. And it also exposed the sin of all those that had persecuted Jesus, to the point where people listening says, well, what hope do we have? What can we do? And Jesus said, Peter said, believe. Believe and you will be saved. And on that day, 3,000 were saved. In the Holy Spirit, Peter was able to witness that. You know what? We're called to do the same. I hope and pray that we all experience in the spiritual disciplines that we practice in a heart full of love each and every day, our friendship with the Spirit. This isn't just something for a sermon. This isn't just a head thing to talk about during Sunday school. This is the real life. That's why we celebrate our birthday on this day. Church is not just a social gathering. Church is not just friends coming together, although it is, that's definitely a part of it. Church is a people alive because of the greatest friend we can have. And that's the friend of the Holy Spirit. Friends, my prayer for all of us is that each and every day we would be open to that wonderful Holy Spirit, that we would let that Holy Spirit into our hearts, and that our hearts would become pliable. They would melt if they need to melt, so that our lives would change, so that we can be a part of God's good transformation of this world. Will you join me in prayer? Oh, Jesus Christ, powerful Father God, Mother God, Parent God, and wondrous Holy Spirit, loving Holy Spirit, our friend, anoint our hearts right now and forever. As we continue to worship in this space and at home, as we go out into the world, may we be mindful of our friend. When we think about our friends, past, present, and those to come, may we always know that the Holy Spirit is our friend too. May we be able to write down on paper, on the computer, I was with my friend, the Holy Spirit, today. And oh, wait, the Holy Spirit was with me again today. And I've been blessed. And now I want to bless others. Oh, Lord God, pour out your Holy Spirit on all gathered. And all God's people said, Amen.